Our reading this morning is from Judges chapter 6, verses 25 to 40, which is on page 249 of the NIV Pew Bibles. Page 249. Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they were carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The people of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd round him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." Because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, "Let Baal contend with him." Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezerites to follow him. He sent messengers through Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Amen. Hearing the voice of God is often hard. Gideon could hear God. We don't always. But for Gideon, the question was, how did he know he could trust God? How was he to know that what he was hearing was right? Was it definitely God that he was listening to? And that was the issue for him in our reading today. He heard God speak, but he wasn't sure he could trust what he heard. He wasn't sure he could trust what he heard because what God was asking him to do just seemed impossible, was too much for him. He wasn't a big, important person to be doing this. He became unsure as to whether it was really God's voice speaking to him. He was unsure if God was really calling him to do what he'd heard. Sorry, the images have gone. Can I put it back? I'm sure all of us at times have struggled both to hear God speak, and then when we do hear God speaking to us, we struggle to obey. We find it hard to do what he says, to trust that we can really do God's will, even if it's only a small thing that's being asked of us. What was being asked of Gideon was a big thing. What was being expected of Gideon was not easy, so he struggled to obey. He struggled to go ahead and do it as it was going to cost him a lot. It could ultimately cost him his life. That night the Lord told Gideon, take your father's bull and another bull 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the symbol of the goddess Asherah which is beside it. Gideon heard God speaking. He heard the Lord's message and he obeyed. He did what he was asked. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did what the Lord had told him. I wonder if we can say the same when we look at our own lives. We hear the Lord's message. We hear it clearly. Maybe not in a voice like Gideon did, but we know what the Lord wants from us. From our reading the Bible, from our praying, from our times of silence, meditation, singing, or within our worship. We know what God is saying to us. We know what the Lord wants from us. We know what God wants us to do, but do we do it? Do we obey like Gideon did, or do we sling God a defy? Do we pretend not to have heard? Or even do we do what the Israelites so often did and just downright disobey? Do our own thing and go our own way. Gideon was scared about what might happen if he obeyed God, but he still did it. He was worried about what might happen to him if he seemed to destroy the altar to Baal, but he went ahead and destroyed it. He was too afraid of his family and the people in town to do it by day, so he did it at night. And he was right to be afraid. In this case, God didn't say to him, you've got to do this in public and everybody sees you. God just told him to do it. So he did it at night because he was afraid. And when the people of the town saw what had been done, they investigated. And when they found out it was Gideon who had done it, they wanted to kill him. They said to Joash, bring your son out here so that we can kill him. There's a cost for all of us in doing what God tells us to do. Maybe not potential death like Gideon faced, but costs all the same. And for all of us, we have to answer the question whether we're willing to pay the price, whether the cost is too great, or whether this is, as we said with Gideon, being really sure before we make a major decision that might change our whole lives and our families' lives, we need to be sure that that's what God is saying. A number of years ago, I faced a big cost if I was going to obey God, and my whole family were going to probably pay an even greater cost. To obey God at that time meant we were going to become homeless, and that's certainly not an easy decision to make or a command to obey. As many of you, or some of you will know, I was a parish minister at the time in Tronkirk and Morden. And I wasn't sure about staying in the parish I was in, but didn't feel called to go anywhere else. The question for me was, do I stay or do I go? I kind of needed to stay, at least in the area, for my children's sake, so that they could still go to the schools they were at, because they were all at stages that meant it was hard to move. And at first, God did say stay, so I stayed. I kept serving him as best I could where I was. But a few months later, I heard a different message from God. I heard God clearly saying, it was time to go now. It was okay to leave now. God called me to leave but where I was, but didn't call me to go anywhere else. And I think that's, well, at least within Presbyterian traditions of ministers being called to charges or called to the jobs that we do, it's really hard to then to know if you're not called somewhere. It's even really hard to apply for jobs because you think like, well, if I'm supposed to be called, I should just sit here and wait for somebody to come to me and find me. But God did call me to leave. He just didn't call me to go somewhere else at that time. He called me to put my trust in him for all my needs and for the needs of my wife, Kath, and for my four young children, one at primary school at the time, three in secondary. If I left my job, I would have no house and no money, no income. But we heard what God said, and I admitted my charge. We listened to what God had to say and obeyed as best we could. And we put our trust in our loving Heavenly Father that the needs we had would be met. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted, so do not be afraid. You're worth much more than many sparrows, we read in Luke 12, verse 7. And God did work everything out for us in sometimes quite miraculous ways. We did manage to buy a house that was big enough for us all to stay in, the house that I'm living in now. My wife managed to find paid employment. Up till that time, she had stayed at home and looked after her children and was the unpaid assistant minister in the church. And my children were all able to continue at the schools they were at, and they did well in their exams when they came. We put our trust in God and obeyed. And then I suppose in that sense, we do believe we were rewarded for it. We were certainly blessed by God in trusting in Him. And I'm sure we can all reflect on times when we have heard God speak to us. At times we will have obeyed. Maybe because it was an easy thing He was asking of us. Maybe it was because it just fitted in with us at that time. At other times we may be hesitated, not quite sure if we were hearing right, not quite sure about exactly what God was saying, needing reassurance that we'd got the message right, that we'd heard correctly. Gideon needed reassurance the next time he heard God speak to him. It had been scary enough to hear God the first time and obey. He knew his family would be mad. He's killing one of the family's bulls as well as getting rid of their altar to Baal. And the people of the town had also been angry about what he had done, but he had done it as bravely as he could at the time. Though for Gideon, that meant doing it at night so that only those who helped could see. And he trusted them to keep his actions secret, trust that maybe wasn't quite, shouldn't have been given. The next thing, though, the next time God asked anything of Gideon was a bigger task, was an even bigger task, and would take a lot more bravery on Gideon's part. And I suppose you can also see that some reasons why he struggled with it was because it's kind of almost looked a bit arrogant of Gideon to be doing what God asked him to do. The call that God was making on Gideon's life now was to rescue Israel from its enemies, to be its savior. Then all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the desert tribes assembled, crossed the Jordan River, and camped in Jezreel Valley. The enemy had gathered, ready to attack and destroy Israel. And Gideon's task was to rescue them, was to save Israel. Not on his own, but with God at his side, with the help of his fellow Israelites, if they would agree to follow him. Then Gideon said to God, "You say that you've decided to use me to rescue Israel. Well, I am putting some wool on the ground where we thresh the wheat. If in the morning there is dew only on the wool but not on the ground, then I will know that you are going to use me to rescue Israel." This is probably one of the best known stories of the Old Testament, Gideon's fleece. People may not know the story around the fleece, but they have heard about Gideon laying out a fleece. Be sure of what God is saying to him. Gideon had called all the people to come follow him. The Spirit of the Lord had taken control of him. The Spirit was directing all his actions. He knew what needed to be done, and he was in the process of getting ready for it. He blew a trumpet to call people to him. He sent out messengers for those who were too far away to hear the trumpet. He got the people ready for action, ready to fight their enemies. He had gathered an army, and then he hesitated. He paused. He wasn't sure anymore of the right way ahead. He needed reassurance from God that what he was doing was right, that the plans he had made were the right ones. Then Gideon said to God, "You say that you have decided to use me to rescue Israel. Well, I am putting some wool on the ground where we thresh the wheat. If in the morning there is dew only on the wool but not on the ground, then I will know that you're going to use me to rescue Israel." He set a test for God, a way for God to prove to him that what he thought God was saying to him was right. "If in the morning there is dew only on the wool but not on the ground, then I will know that you're going to use me to rescue Israel." Gideon is taking steps in obedience. He's trying to follow God. He's trying to be a good disciple. But the tasks God is calling him to do are getting bigger, so he asks God for reassurance. And God is especially patient with Gideon. is tolerant even when, after answering his prayer, after answering the fleece that Gideon had laid, Gideon asked for it to be done again. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be angry with me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me make one more test with the wool. This time let the wool be dry and the ground be wet." I'm sure many of us have done what Gideon did, laid a fleece for God to confirm to us what we think he is saying to us. And we also know it's kind of difficult sometimes, and maybe the answer that we're asking for is knowing what fleece we should use, since we don't literally use a fleece. I know I have used that idea, that way of thinking, that kind of prayer to God, saying, "I will know that this is what you're saying if this happens, or I will know this is what I should do if this or this doesn't happen." And I did it again just over a year ago. 6 years ago, I went to be a parish minister in Orkney to South Ronald Sea and Bury Church. And at my interview, I was asked how long I would stay for. Not a good question for people to ask, because then you start thinking about it. So I said 4.5 years, as that was what I calculated was the average minister had stayed in that congregation or in the churches around there in the last 50 or so years. Now, my arithmetic was out, so it should have been actually 5.5 years, but I said 4.5 years. So because I'd been asked that question when I came, when I got to near the 4.5 years, when I got to about 3.5, 4 years, I began to think about whether I was going to stay longer or whether it was in fact time to go. Our kind of family were down here, and they did, even though my children are all grown up, my youngest being 25, they do still kind of need our support, and they need us around a bit more than we were, being way up in Orkney. My mother-in-law kind of needs a wee bit more support. So there were family ties and pulls down here. But I was really struggling to know whether it was time to go. Because I'm getting so old, if I stayed now, then that would be me there probably for another 10 years. I struggled to hear God speak. I looked at various charges but wasn't called to them. I managed to get time off from work and used that to reflect on my future. I had 2 weeks off plus 2 weeks holiday. So I was down in Edinburgh for a month in January, a year and a half ago. And I made all sorts of plans about how I could minister in the future in Orkney. The changes I thought needed to take place in the church. And I planned on staying. But all my plans depended on having first the support of the elders and then of the congregation. I couldn't stay unless the elders made it clear that they wanted me to stay. And I couldn't go on ministering there unless I had support for change and moving forward in new ways. And I suppose the struggle for me with there was, am I going to be blackmailing the session by saying, "I'm only going to stay if you're going to support everything that I say we'll do"? And it was really hard to kind of know how to put that to them. How to put saying, "I do want to stay, I do want to serve you, I do want to work or walk alongside you. But if we're going to do that, we need to change. We can't stay the same." And my fleece was that God would make it clear to me that was that he wanted me to stay by the elders clearly supporting me. Not supporting everything I was going to say we needed to change. Not necessarily agreeing to all the changes, but showing support for me personally and being open to look at new things. I really needed them to be open to look. And so I returned to Orkney full of hope, looking to do new things, reinvigorated, having been off for a month and being away probably at the worst time of year in Orkney. Missed most of the winds. But it very quickly became clear that some in the session would not support me going forward. First session meeting was disastrous. And in that meeting at the very end, because the congregation had known that I'd been looking at other charges, I was asked, "Well, are you going to stay then or not?" And I'm afraid, unfortunately, it was in that kind of tone as well. No comment saying, like, "We really want you to stay." Just, "Well, are you going to stay or not?" And so I said, "No, I'm leaving." I decided it was the right time to leave. And I've never been absolutely sure of it since, though, if it was. And we returned to our house in Edinburgh. Now, there wasn't a big cost this time. So we ordered a house to return to that had been relatively looked after by my children. The house was clean. The garden wasn't done. And my wife, Kath, she always gets jobs really easily. I don't know why that is or why I struggle to get jobs. But anyway, she got a job before we returned and is working with Crossreach. But was that the right thing to do? The majority of the elders did support me, but just enough didn't to make it hard to stay. And my struggle now is one many of us have, or certainly many ministers have, is where to now? If I made the wrong choice in leaving Orkney, will God actually call me somewhere else and give me a new job to do? How long do I have to wait? If you know me at all, you will know I'm really not patient at all. How patient do I have to be? And how do I find reassurance from God that I made the right decision? And how am I going to know what God wants me to do next? How will I clearly know where he might be calling me to go? How do any of us know when God is telling us to do something? How do we know that we have heard right? Do we lay a fleece like Gideon did? Do we pray and meditate as we know Jesus did? Do we study the scriptures and try and make sense of things from them as we know the Apostle Paul did all his life? And when we know that we have heard God correctly, are we willing to obey no matter the cost to ourselves? I do know one thing that God is telling us all to do, that we can know for sure, that we don't need reassurance for, that we don't need to lay a fleece to know that it is definitely what God wants us to do. God wants us to obey his commands, as that verse from the Psalm said. And what is his command? What is it that Jesus told us, his disciples, that they had to do, that he tells us that we have to do to make disciples, to share our faith? If we really believe in God, we need to be telling other people about him. If we really believe in Jesus, we need to be sharing our knowledge of him with others. And I know you as a congregation are supporting Stage and Slam, so you are doing that. You are working together with young people in this wider area of Greater Liberton, Gilmerton, Morden. But we all need to be sharing our knowledge of Jesus with others, no matter how hard that is or how embarrassing. We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to share our faith, share our knowledge of Jesus, not just so that we have more members in the church, which is almost quite often what it sounds like we're doing. Oh, we need to do this so that people will start coming to worship, coming to church, or so that the Church of Scotland might continue for years to come. But because Jesus is important to us, and we want others to know what we know, we want others to have the joy of being disciples as we are. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. In Orkney, my session clerk said, I basically said that in every single sermon. It was almost a complaint, but he wasn't really complaining. He was saying, it's right, it's true. We have to think about how do I share my faith? I won't necessarily make this challenge, but I can guarantee if all of you want to share your faith and if you pray now or before you leave this church, God will give you an opportunity to speak to someone, to share your faith with someone, whether that's in the shop, in the streets, or whatever you're doing this afternoon with somebody in your own family. If you want opportunities, God will give you them. But we do need to ask. We do need to be willing to share what Jesus means to us, to me, with someone else. Will we obey the command of Jesus to his followers? Will we go wherever Jesus is calling us to go, whatever that might cost us, because we want the whole world to come to believe as we do, to know Jesus as we know him? Amen.